hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. Issues of Life is the program. This is Eben. And we thank God for another Saturday. I've been away for two weekends, two Saturdays, and I was out of town. A lot of messages, and by the grace of God, tonight we are back on again. Well, interesting times we live in, lots of things happening in the news worldwide, and even in Ghana, a lot happening in the world that should cause Christians to be thinking more about Bible prophecy and what is happening according to the Bible. You know, we are living in interesting times because we are seeing things which no other generation saw. I mean, they didn't see these things. Previous generations, they didn't see. And they never saw these things that we are seeing. And social, moral, downward, everything is going downward morally. Sin is being praised. What is right is now seen as what is wrong. What is wrong is now seen as what is right. And it's just getting more serious. Evil is gradually on the ascendancy, and you see some of the news and you ask yourself why people be doing this to other human beings. But that is the world we live in. Evil, evil, evil and all. But these are early days, yet the worst is still coming, and that's why we keep warning that these are the times to get deeper into the word of God. These are the times to prepare for what is coming. These are the times to grow in the Lord. And that's why for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the coming revival. And tonight we are continuing from another angle. And there's a lot to talk about tonight. And if you are feeling sleepy, please do your best. And if you get some pegs to hold your eyelids from shutting, whatever you do to stay awake. Yeah, because tonight we are talking about something very important regarding the revival, the Great Awakening. Indeed, it is coming. Great Awakening is a reality, and more people are seeing it in their visions, in their dreams, prophetic warnings and messages to the church that we should get ready, we should prepare, we should pray for it, we should put ourselves in line for what is coming. You know, the devil knows this. I've been saying this for some time now, and you know, they know. I mean, this man has, I think one of these days I'll look for that file and play a portion of that interview where the satanist, hardcore satanist, was telling this man, this Christian writer, that you people are expecting the Great Awakening, the Revival. They too are preparing for the Black Awakening. So they know the times. And recently I was telling some friends that it's very interesting that those on the other side, that means the occultists, the Satanists, you know, they are more spiritually in tune of the times we are in than the average Christian. So they know the season. But unfortunately, when you come to that, our side as Christians, most are not aware of the season. Interestingly, the Holy Spirit is still talking and giving us the messages per the word of God, per Joel 2:28-29, where he says he will talk to us through dreams, visions, and prophecies. And yet, when God talks, we don't mind, we don't care, because we are not interested in what God is showing the church through the dreams, the visions, and the prophecies. You know, how else are we expecting him to talk to us again beyond the word of God? How else, if not the dreams, the visions, and the prophecies? How else? So when these channels are used and they are just confirming the word of God, obviously, we have to be serious and pray about it. But most Christians are believing, or it's like we are acting as though that is it. There is nothing more to hear from God again. We have enough. We don't need to hear any new thing again. And this is where Christians are becoming less knowledgeable relative to the times we are in, whilst those on the other side know the time they are in, and they are preparing for it, not just sitting down and waiting. So that's why this program, this current series we are treating on the revival, we are talking about knowing, we laid the foundation. Tonight we are moving into the aspect of prayer and other things, and it's important we get the dynamics well so that we can put ourselves in line. You know, this evening the Holy Spirit was thinking about it along this line. And you see, if we don't have the desire for the revival, you cannot be part of it. If you don't put yourself into it, you cannot flow with what is coming. The revival is not some picnic party, holiday, entertainment, something. No, it's for souls to be saved. It's for the church to be awakened. You see, so if you don't have an interest in souls being saved, you don't have an interest in you being revived spiritually, then a topic like revival, will virtually not be something that you'll be interested in, because what's the big deal? You are used to your normal carnal life, lukewarm life, and you are satisfied with it. But I believe for those who want to revive themselves spiritually, those who want to experience God at another level, those who want to see souls saved, their family saved, unbelievers in their offices, in their schools, in their communities, people getting saved, then we should be interested and really do what we have to do, because you just can't have a revival without some people laying the foundation for it in terms of prayer and serious prayer towards it, the fasting and the prayers and all that go along with it. We have to start paying the price for it. And by the grace of God, Pastor Roger will be joining the course of the program to talk about it. Well, I'm excited to be back. Let me get into some of the news this week. We have Putin preparing to launch nuclear carrying submarine capable of wiping out U.S. cities in chilling warning to Biden. Russia is preparing to launch a new submarine equipped with nukes that is capable of wiping out U.S. cities in chilling warning to U.S. President Joe Biden. The report details that the launch of the Kazan sub, that's the submarine, is part of a long-running campaign by Vladimir Putin to modernize Russia's armed forces, and comes during high tension between Russia and the West. This state-of-the-art Kazan submarine is the second Yazin M vessel and is equipped with nuclear-capable Kabel and Onyx cruise missiles. The sub's unveiling on May 7th will come ahead of huge military parades that will commemorate the mark of the end of the Second World War in Europe. The Kazan's development has been shrouded in secrecy and the delivery repeatedly postponed due to unspecified problems. U.S. Intelligence Chief Scott Beria recently stated that the Kazan is a worldwide threat to America when talking to the Senate Armed Services Committee. It goes on and on. And this is quite worrying because there are countless prophecies, countless dreams and visions of people seeing on the Lord showing people how in the not too distant future Russia would attack the US. And so a news like this it's not good. It's not good. Because if you've been following the tension between Russia and the US in recent times, it doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at all. And the enemies of US, quote unquote, the enemies of US are also well equipped. Those are the days when it was just Russia that was more of a superpower against US. But now, on the side of Russia are heavyweights. China alone is it's a no-go area. And you have Iran also really developing big-time military things, building their own missiles and their equipment and bombs and all. And then you also have the little states, but very hardcore and stubborn, North Korea. You know, these are a handful to really deal with. And these are all things which become the war and rumors of wars as we keep seeing these wars, these warnings, you know. And the article says, meanwhile, Iran has just released a new video over the weekend that depicts its military forces blowing up the U.S. Capitol building, fueling a new threat that comes as the Biden administration inches closer to providing Tehran with billions of dollars in economic sanctions relief. The video reportedly debated this past Sunday on Iranian state-controlled television right before Iranian Supreme Leader Khamenei delivered his remarks, in which he praised the country's Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. And then the video clip, armed IRGC forces are seen marching before the U.S. Capitol famous dome as it explodes. It also shows Iranian forces marching on Jerusalem. Very worrying. Very worrying for the U.S. And, you know, for anyone who has been monitoring the state of U.S., the economy is not in good shape. Inflation is really beginning, cost of living is beginning to go up this week or this evening or this afternoon. I saw one report about the cost of wood, the cost of, you know, buildings. So a whole lot of things are really pushing up. And one report I was listening to this week was talking about the hyperinflation. They believe hyperinflation will soon hit because their debt ratio is going abnormal, you know, in the trillions, and it's not sustainable. And so, you see, when these things affect the U.S., the ripple effects affect the world economy. And the experts are actually warning that the world economic system is about to collapse. It's something which experts have been warning for some time now. And even in our little Ghana here, you can see the signals are not good regarding the economy, cost of living gradually inching up, you know, and all. So we are living in times where just one big bad news can just send the shock waves throughout the world economy and things will not be the same again. And we just have to keep trusting God and ask Him for the wisdom to know how to live, you know. Because there are times where He can direct and show you that, you know, you have to stock up or you have to do this or that and all that. You know, these are all, you see, we are living in very critical times where we should be spirit-led in all things, in our finances, in our businesses and all. We have to become more spirit-led as Christians. So our decisions will be based on spiritual guidance. So everybody will be saying, oh, okay, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to buy that. But you, what the Holy Spirit tells you is what you will do. So you look on while people make their decisions, but you wait on the Lord. He tells you, do not buy this, go and buy that rather. And when you are buying something else instead of what everybody else is buying, oh, and you are not correct. Everybody is buying this. Why are you? But if you are really spirit-led and you know it is God who is leading you, it will not be in error. At the right time, you realize that it was a good decision that the Spirit led you to do. So we need to start depending on the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us in times that we find ourselves in, the times ahead and all. Because that's the difference between us and the unbelievers. We should be intelligent based in terms of having advanced information through the Holy Spirit. See, and that's the essence of, you know, John 16, 13. I mean, the Holy Spirit, the things, it didn't limit it to the things you show us, the things to come that you show us. No, there's no limit to it. So in terms of even the things that we live off in this life and all, he can show us and direct us what to do, where to go, where not to go, and all that. It's part of his relationship with us to guide us. But you see, the problem we have most of the time is we don't want to trust him with some things because we think his decisions may not be good for us. We think God's will not be the best for us. So it's like we want to try and, you know, do our own things by showing how we are smart and we can depend on our networks, you know, and all that. But God is God. He knows tomorrow. We do not know tomorrow. So the one who knows tomorrow will be the best to entrust our lives into his hands. All right. Defense Department in the U.S. develops next-generation sensor to implant under human skin, like a check engine light. So this sensor is going to be planted under human skin. Interesting technology is coming up. One military doctor is calling a next generation technology that could ultimately stop a future pandemic a human check engine light. Quote and unquote, a human check engine light. It's actually a tiny hydrogel sensor that sits under the skin and was originally developed to help treat diabetes. But for the Defense Department, it's a way to stop the spread of infection in its tracks. Quote, what we do is we say, well, the science is interesting, but we are translating that into application and benefits, and it's something, frankly, the Department of Defense does really well, unquote, said Dr. Matthew Hepburn. The vaccine lead for operational warp speed. We can see science, but we say we have mission. We have a national security mission, unquote. In March 2020, the USS Theodore Roosevelt made headlines when more than 1,000 sailors, tested positive. And then the outbreak put the ship out of commission for 2 months and kept a crew of 4,800 sailors from their mission of defending our nation. Hepburn told CBN News, he has devoted his entire career to finding a way to prevent that from happening again. What we want to do is detect an infection as early as possible before someone even spreads it to another person, to try and prevent that infection in the first place so that it never happens. But if it does, we detect and treat, he noted. What we also might want to do is make sure everybody else is protected. That's now possible thanks to a tiny hydrogel biosensor. It's placed under the skin, and from there, it's able to measure what's going on at a tissue level. For example, it can measure the levels of lactate in your body. The level of lactate at the tissue level is a really good indicator that someone is starting to get sick. Hepburn explained, it's one of those things that we go up pretty early in severe infection called sepsis. I think everyone's kind of heard of sepsis. The sensor doesn't tell you what kind of infection you may be getting. It's more of an alert. Hepburn compares it to a check engine light. Okay. More technology coming up, little by little. One day we'll be getting there. big technology companies are becoming big brother. Whatever computer privacy that's still left is about to be gone. In the new pandemic film Songbird, phones act as informants that report people to the government. Now, a coalition of big tech and mainstream media companies are pushing new technology that could turn your phone or computer into an informant. Everything created on a device with a computer chip could be traced back to the author. Everything, every post, every photo, and every video will have the creator's digital signature on it. It's the brainchild of the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity, and it has the backing of the biggest names in technology and establishment media. It's being applauded as a way to stamp out disinformation on the internet. But who decides what is disinformation? That's a big question. Big tech will decide and will have the tools to punish the person behind it. Urban Bockhart, a writer at Breitbart, and author of Deleted: Big Tech's Battle to Erase the Trump Movement and Steal the Election, says it's not a bad idea to track down on information that's false or misleading or deceptive. The problem is, who are you going to put in charge of that? The people who have been put on in charge of it over the past 4 years, Silicon Valley companies, they've abused that power to crack down on information and viewpoints that they don't like. They can use it as a tool of political interference. And indeed, that's where the problem lies, because now, you know, yesterday or so, Facebook has permanently blocked or deleted the account for LifeSite News. And LifeSite News has been one of the places I get, sometimes I use their news. It's a Christian site and credible news. But they posted information this week, which was true information from the U.S. Center for Disease Control, CDC. The information is not fake, it's not false. It's a valid government information. But because the information is not palatable to the eyes and ears of the powers that be, they say no, it is false. So they say it is false, but the thing is not false. But you see, when they say it is false, that is it. They control the system, Facebook. They say it's false, so that's it. They just block the accounts as they want. And that's it. YouTube have also terminated their channel. Is it because now they are controlling the truth from reaching out to people? So if they seem, they identify something, classify it as this is exposing too much, then they just block the accounts, they just terminate it, suspend it, and that's it. And they control it, so you can't do anything to them. And this is where the issue is. But this new technology that they are bringing up eventually is going to virtually be a big brother monitoring system, where whatever you post, a picture, a text, whatever, there will be a stamp, a footprint stamp, to identify the machine from which it was sent from, it was posted from. So clearly it will go through to have the IP address of the machine, which you can trace and trace and trace and get to your house, wherever, at Crow Room or at Asamanso or KJT or wherever you are in Kumasi or whichever part you are in the world. They can trace to your house and know that this information came from this person or this phone or this machine and all. But you see, the question is, who determines whether this information is true or false? Because now it's not only about something being false, it's about something that may be true, but they don't want people to know, so they will call it false conspiracy theory as a way of discrediting it. And then you can be attacked for posting something that is true. This is another level which we are being taken to. And freedoms are gradually being curtailed and controlled worldwide. Even in the developed countries where freedom of speech and all, if you see, I saw one video of police beating people in Spain and in France, and their only offense was, they were sometimes not wearing a nose mask, alone in a night somewhere, walking alone, and you see the beatings, and it's like, hey, places where democracy was even born, see how people are treated because of this big brother or little brother who is 19 years old. This 19-year-old thing is really causing people to be abused in societies where law had, I mean, the laws work. And freedom of expression and freedom and all have been expressed over the years. Now, suddenly, it's as if laws don't work again. And everything is changing very fast. Everything is changing very fast. China now punishing those who provide worship venues for believers. A new report is now revealing that authorities of the Chinese Communist Party have stepped up persecution against those of faith by punishing those who provide worship venues for believers. According to Asia News, a Catholic in the town of Wangli in the Zhejiang province was just fined for offering his private chapel to the Bishop of Zhengguang Diocese, Monsignor Peter Sao Zumin. The report from the Christian Post details that on March 16th, Huang Runzum, 56, reportedly offered his chapel to Shao and about 20 Catholics, but it was shortly afterward that he was then sentenced to a hefty fine of 200,000 yuan, equivalent of about $30,000. Wow, that's about 180,000 Ghana cedis, big money. Under the charge of hosting the bishop for illegal religious activities, also providing him with lunch, a restroom, etc. Hey, Asamo. Huang was said to be accused of violating the state-sanctioned church's principle since Shao was ordained by a foreign institution, which goes against the principle of independence and autonomy and self-administration of the church in China. The report reveals that a 2018 China-Vatican agreement renewed last year permits the Chinese government to propose new bishops to the Vatican through the state-approved Chinese Patriotic Catholic Association, with the Pope having veto power on the decision. Then a few other persecution headlines. We have herdsmen kill Christians in Nigeria's Nasarawa Plateau states. Another Christian nurse in Pakistan falsely accused of blasphemy. Police rescue then jail Christian family attacked in India. And then China removes Bible apps from App Store and shuts down popular Christian websites. Students kidnapped in attack on Christian school in Plateau State, Nigeria. And then under headlines, Muslims allegedly poisoned pastor over plans for church building. And then police in Pakistan torture Christian into false confession of blasphemy. And then Fulani herdsmen kill 33 Christians in 1 week in Benue State, Nigeria. And we also have campaign launched to discredit Christian groups in Nepal. And final one for the persecution one says, Christians killed, kidnapped in attack on worship service in Nigeria. And Nigeria now is really trending when it comes to Christian persecution. And the saddest part is the government is doing nothing about it. Nothing about it. Nothing. And Christians are just being killed, slaughtered, butchered, and whatever, kidnapped, abused. And it's very unfortunate. Very, very unfortunate. All right, now a little entertainment news. That says Disney, that's the children stuff. Disney unveils LGBT rainbow colored toys and clothes as Pride Month approaches. Hey, awesome. You know, there was Disney company well known for its family friendly, okay, previously family friendly, but now it's not family friendly programming and theme parks. Is promoting a series of toys and clothes for children decorated with the LGBT rainbow flag ahead of Pride Month, which is in June. Disney, which produces several television programs and movies designed for children and operates several theme parks worldwide that cater for children and families, has unveiled the Rainbow Disney Collection. The catalog of apparel and toys features rainbow colored merchandise designed to honor the upcoming annual Pride Month in June that celebrates the LGBT community and movement. Quote, the countdown to Pride Month is on, with a colorful array of Pride products available now, unquote, the Disney Parks Twitter feed announced on Monday. Several rainbow-colored hats accompanied the announcement of the company's Pride Month collection. Additionally, the Twitter account noted that the Walt Disney Company is giving fans as part of our ongoing commitment to organizations around the world that support LGBTQ plus communities. The pro-LGBT organizations Disney is donating to are listed on the Rainbow Disney Collections website. The advocacy groups supported by Disney include, I mean, they listed quite a number of them. Disney Parks Experiences and Products Communications Manager Anthony Amenia elaborated on the Pride Month merchandise in a post on Disney Parks blog on Monday. You know, the issue with these things is very unfortunate that sometimes some parents have no idea. I know of a couple, a family that migrated from Ghana to the UK, and the woman went to town and I think saw a discount sale of items, colorful items, so thought, oh, from Ghana, Ghanaians and chieftains, the way you are, you know, discount. So she did her selection for the children, now fine, bought the things. And when she got home, then she put on the TV and saw that it was the gay pride, LGBT things that she has bought for the children. Because she didn't even know that this rainbow things meant, you know, ignorance. She didn't know. She just thought it was colorful, beautiful for the children. Apparently, she was doing purchasing for LGBT things. So she later returned them to the shop for refund. You know, parents should not be ignorant in the times we live in, because we are in a season where ignorance can really be expensive. We always say ignorance is expensive, but we are talking of expensive, which is eternal expense, where ignorance can really cost you eternally. Yeah, I mean, there's no room for ignorance when it comes to spiritual things. I mean, you didn't know, so, because ignorance can cause your family to be destroyed by these things. Ignorance can cause your children to go wayward along this LGBT thing. Your ignorance as a parent can push your children, encourage them indirectly by what you allow them to watch, by what you buy for them, because you thought it was nothing. And you see, as Christians, we also have to understand that apparels, the things we wear, the things we have, can also influence us spiritually. For that one, if you don't believe it, it's your issue. But the things you wear can have an influence on you. There are a lot of people with testimonies to that effect. So if you are buying these things, I am fully convinced they are demonized. That one there, I won't hide it. It's a fact. These things are demonized. So if you buy it for your children, and after your children wear it and now they start behaving funny, you have 5-year-old, 6-year-old, 7-year-old, I mean, boy, now saying, I feel like a girl feeling like, saying, I feel like a boy, you should know where the source is coming from. You see, these are very dangerous times we live in, and we shouldn't be ignorant at all about the enemies, the devil's devices. And the reality is, they know what they are doing. They know what they are doing. So we should not be ignorant about these things. That's why we talk about some of these things on this program. The next news, which is the last, says, Muslims are having dreams and visions of Jesus during Ramadan, and a man in a white robe comes to them. As the Islamic holy month of Ramadan is winding down, Muslims are praying and fasting with greater fervor, particularly on the ninth of destiny. That's tonight. Some call it ninth of power, ninth of destiny, and other names. And when they seek a spiritual breakthrough, millions of Muslims around the globe are also interceding. Millions of Christians, around the globe are also interceding on their behalf. CBN is joining with Uncharted Ministries for a 5-night event featuring interviews and prayers with former Muslims who now follow Jesus. These former Muslims are sharing their stories of discovering Jesus as their savior and praying that others will have the same experience. Nadine, Ashfin, and Yasra talk about growing up Muslim and finding the truth during the week-long outreach called Jesus and Ramadan. Yasra says he's not a mad, angry God who created me. He is not that. He created me with so much love. Tom Doyle of Uncharted Ministries says that Muslim background believers will take questions and pray not just for Muslims, but for Christians to learn how to share the gospel with them. We are going to have Emily from your team in Jerusalem and Josh from our team in Dallas, asking them questions. How did they find Jesus in Iran, in Baghdad, in Iraq, and sharing their stories? And then they are going to give a call to action to believers in the West on how to reach out to Muslims, Doyle says. Why is it important to do this during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan? Doyle says the last week is the most special week because it's the ninth Muslims called the ninth of destiny, a ninth of power, where they just cry out to God. That is the number one ninth of the year that Jesus appears to Muslims in dreams, he explains. They are searching for God, and Jesus accommodates that request, but they are shocked and they are surprised when a man in a white robe comes to them and tells them that he loves them and he died for them on the cross. Interesting, interesting, interesting. And you see, this is all part of what we are talking about tonight, about the revival, the role of prayer. You see, so, I mean, this is a practical case that we have now. Tonight, start praying for them. Your Muslim friends, Muslims in your neighborhood, the Muslims in the country, let's start praying for them that as they seek God, they will find him in their dreams. Jesus will visit them in their dreams. There are countless testimonies, many, 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 many countless testimonies. And it hasn't stopped. It is still continuing. And since he did it for others, it can also happen to the people you pray for. And this is the beginning of the passion for souls to be saved. Let's start it tonight as we talk about tonight's edition, I mean, of this revival and then the prayer. Let's practicalize it. And let's start praying for the passion for the lost. You see, it's unfortunate, but most of us have lost our passion for the lost. Virtually, we don't care if they are going to hell, it's our bad case. If someone is going to hell, we are not bothered. When you see people going to hell, living their lifestyle, well, we just pass on. Nothing really bothers us because we've lost that love for the lost. That passion, that zeal to get people saved is virtually dead in most of us. So nothing drives us to even approach them, giving them a tract or talking to them about Christ or talking to them about their lifestyle. Nothing. I mean, we are just moving on. We don't care. We just cohabit. Everybody be in your lane, then if you die, by each one for himself. But I believe there's a greater mandate for us as Christians. There is a call that we must heed to. And the time to start heeding to this call from the word of God is now. The go ye is still there. The go ye command is still valid. And we have to start acting on it. I'll be back after this song. Where is the song I'm looking for? Okay, yeah. You know, sometimes We lose our strength, we become weak spiritually, so we don't feel qualified to do these things for God, witnessing, praying for, interceding and all that. But his strength is perfect. Let's listen to this beautiful song and I'll be back.
Can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No less to show. No glory of my own, yet in my weakness He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to.
Beautiful song by Steve Curtis Chapman. You know, Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, the song just says it all. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what He can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own. Yet in my weakness, He is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that he holds, when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins where ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He will carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. And indeed, I believe a lot of listeners now listening to this can attest that you feel weak spiritually. Your prayer life is tanking very, very low. You feel you just can't carry on yourself, your own again. You're weak spiritually and all. But I believe it's time to revive ourselves. You know, this afternoon I was reading this verse, which is quite encouraging that we start with. Luke 18, verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men, that's you and I, ladies and gentlemen, old women, old men, children, adults, men ought always, not sometimes, not when we feel like, not when we are not tired, not when we are strong, but always to pray and not to faint. And, you know, yes, some of us have fainted, we feel weak, we feel down, but we have to encourage ourselves and bounce back, because we ought to pray. Ought means it's assigned. We have to. Mandatory. We ought to pray. We have to. So it's not negotiable. It's not something that if you feel like, if you want to, if you are led type of, once in a while you feel like praying, then you pray. No. We ought to pray. That means it is part of us as believers, as Christians. Our mandate is to pray, because we are spirit beings living in our fleshy bodies. So as spirit beings, we have to communicate with God. Prayer should be part of us. Ought to pray. We have to pray. And if there was ever a season and a time that prayer should be held up high, it must be now. And now onwards, not just one day event, but the season. We have entered a season where prayer should not be left for prayer warriors alone. Prayer should not be left for pastors alone. Prayer should not be left for those who have nothing doing. Prayer should be part of our lives, everyday lives. And it's very critical, because you see, the issue is a lot is happening in the spiritual realm behind the scenes. This week I was telling a friend that on the surface it looks like all is well, and this is what you can call the calm before the storm. So things are happening, but it looks like nothing is happening, because you see, things happen in the spirit realm first before it manifests in the physical. So in the physical, it will look like the waves are calm, but behind this, under the currents churning under, will be serious, because the spirit realm will have to give birth to the things before it will manifest physically. So if you are the type who waits to see things in the physical realm before you start praying, then it will be too late, because the thing has been given birth already and it started maturing before you see it in the physical realm. So if you always wait to see it manifest physically before you say, let me start praying, then you are late, because those who initiated it, they finished working already and they've gone to sleep. And you are now coming to undo. You need a lot more effort that way. If you always wait to see things happening before you pray, then you always be late in countering and late in stopping the enemy's attacks and all that. And in the context of praying for souls, praying for revival, interceding for unsaved friends, relatives, and all that, I mean, there's nothing like waiting for the appropriate time. No, because the devil is not waiting for an appropriate time. He, as much as possible and as early as possible that he can kill those people, he will do it. So there is a contention that is going on for their souls. But what are we doing? We are just living a normal life, thinking about God blessing us and, you know, all the good things that we can have for ourselves. But what about our relatives? They are not saved. Our friends who are not saved. Our communities, our nation, our region, our city, our town. People have to be saved. You see, for a long period now, the body of Christ has lost touch with the reality of doing evangelism, doing missions and all that. Very few churches still have the passion for missions. Very few. Very few churches have really the desire to, I mean, do missions, go and plant churches in rural areas or in other places. And very few churches are doing these things. You see, but these are things which should be a dynamic activity as Christians. Evangelism, winning souls, saving the lost. But because we've not done it for a long time, it has become normal for us not to even think about it again. But we are getting to the point where it is going to be necessary. We start praying for the souls, praying for the lost, interceding. You see, these are not, we have to start doing it every day, praying for somebody, at least, if not at all, every day, pray for somebody. And the Spirit will guide you who to pray for. You know people who are not saved, your friends, your schoolmates, your neighbors, and all that. So as for people to pray for and intercede for, there's no list and no ending, like it's a never-ending list, because there are always people to pray for. And when you finish praying for them, you can still pray for them again. So it's not like I'll finish praying for the people to be saved and that's it. No, there's always work to be done. So you see, we have to now first pray for ourselves, for God to give us that desire and that passion to revive us. See, the revival has to start within us. Because if we are not revived, how can we be revived to revive others? And how can we be tools and vessels to be used to also effect the change? You see, so we have to concentrate on ourselves first. Then we can be ready tools to be used, to be empowered by the Spirit to do more, to pray more. Because when the passion is not there, you can't even pray. Because, I mean, the passion is what will drive you to intercede for the lost. Where there's no passion, there's no driving force. Because you don't care. You don't care. So we really need to be revived ourselves. Our prayer lives have to be revived. And that's tonight's edition, I believe. I don't think we can finish on this topic tonight. But as the Spirit leads, Pastor Roger will be joining us after this song. And it's one old, beautiful song by the Hosanna Music. I think this was sung in South Africa. We Are One, the album We Are One, The Great Awakening. I'll be back. This is Eben. The program is Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. Lord, pour out your spirit on all the peoples of the earth. Let your sons and daughters speak your words of prophecy. Send us dreams and visions. Reveal the secrets of your heart. Lord, our faith is rising. I believe your faith should be rising with these discussions, with these songs. Let all heaven sound the coming of your day. There's going to be a great awakening. There's going to be a great revival in our land. There's going to be a great awakening. And everyone who calls on Jesus, they will be saved. Lord, pour out your spirit on all the nations of the world. Let them see your glory. Let them fall in reverence. Show your mighty power. Shake the heavens and the earth. Lord, the world is waiting. Let creation see the coming of your day. And then the chorus goes on and on. Indeed, these are the things that Joel 2:28 talks of. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days will I pour out my spirit. And, you know, 32 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So that is it. You know, we should now, you see, we should see it as a desire. You see, we have to now desire it, think about it, pray about it. The passion will start rising. You know, when that passion is, that seed is sown in you, and you understand it, it becomes a driving force. Your prayer life will change. The way you see things will change in terms of how you perceive the unsaved. See, now that passion will be there. That driving force will be there. And these are the times we need to now start praying along these lines. People need to be saved. We ourselves need to be revived. And that's the importance of this series we've been having. Pastor Roger will be joining anytime soon. Waiting for his call to join the feed. And that is it. So there's indeed going to be a great awakening. Let it start in you. Let it start in me. Then we can become tools that God can use to also affect others. If we are not affected, how can we become effective tools? And the danger with this is that if we don't avail ourselves, others will be available to be used, and God will bypass us. I mean, as for God, he won't negotiate with you. No. I mean, there will be people who will be willing, and this is where some will struggle to accept what is happening. Some will struggle when they see people without titles, children doing ministration, healings happening, because God is eventually going to bypass the people who think they should be used. And, you know, it's not about personalities when it comes to the final revival. It's not about, I mean, experience. It's all about the wave and the move of the Holy Spirit. He is going to do his own thing, his own timing, his own ways. So it's not about principles and strategies and, you know, this is how we do things, this is how... No. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, you're alive and clear.
It's clear.
Yeah.
I just saw then I was told the line does not exist.
The devil is a liar.
So we know what we are in for tonight.
Yeah.
Good evening once again, and good evening to our cherished listeners.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We want to look at Luke 22, verse 43. Luke 22, verse 43.
Okay.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. This was after Christ had said in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if thou art willing, remove this cup from me.
Yeah.
Bible says, and an angel appears from heaven, strengthening him. Tonight, our prayer is that the angel that strengthened the Lord Jesus Christ will strengthen each and every one of us.
Yeah.
Will come to our homes, will meet us in our offices, meet us wherever we are listening tonight, and strengthen us once again.
Amen.
And also, my next prayer is that the resurrection power. You know, when Christ resurrected, it was not just news, but he had to appear to all to tell them that this is the next phase of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he appeared to them, he knew that if he leaves them alone, they will relax and things will overcome them. So he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem. We are praying that from tonight, resurrection power will fire us up.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is that it will fire your spirit up. It will fire your soul up. And above all, it will fire your prayer life up.
Amen.
The resurrection is not one day event. It is a continuous event.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, let the resurrection bring out a revival in your spirit.
Yes.
So that from tonight, you'll be revived as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
After last 3 weeks, when we ended, the Holy Ghost gave me this word, and I'm beginning with this. He said, when Israel was crossing the Red Sea, none of them complained. They crossed with joy. How come they complained when they were supposed to cross the Jordan and fight for the promise?
Interesting.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
When they were crossing the Red Sea, none of them complained. They all crossed with joy. How come they complained when they were supposed to cross the Jordan and fight for the promise? You realize that along the line, they have lost sight of their destination.
Mm-hmm.
They have lost sight of their destination. We are doing this thing so that you and I will not lose sight of our destination.
Mm-hmm.
Numbers 20 verse 4. Israel said, and why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? I want to repeat. Numbers 20 verse 4. And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness that we and our cattle should die there? Then verse 5 says, and wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranate, neither is there any water to drink. This scripture looks a bit weird. But if Israel is complaining to Moses that why have he brought them to the wilderness, that means they knew that the wilderness was not their destination.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 5, when it said it is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranate, neither is there any water to drink. That means that they knew what they should get at the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
So this was absolutely nonsense and lies, because they knew the wilderness was not their destination.
Yeah.
But they chose to make it theirs. Tonight, may we not choose the wilderness as our destination. Even when we see the miracles of God in the wilderness is never our destination. But Israel were content with what they were seeing in the wilderness. Now, when Israel said they could not conquer, but their women will be taken as slaves, as prisoners of war, and their children will also be taken as prisoners of war, and the Lord told them, then you will die in the wilderness. In the book of Numbers, for 2 weeks now, that we've not been on air, I've been looking at the book of Numbers. In the book of Numbers, something strange happens. Israel says we can't fight. Israel says we were not called to fight. We were called into the promised land. We cannot fight. But the moment the Lord told them that you people, because of what you have said, you will die there. Let's look at what happened in Numbers chapter 21. From verse 21.
Yeah.
Then Israel sent messengers to say to King Sihon of the Amorites, let us go through your country. We won't go through any of your fields or vineyards or drink any of the water from your wells. We will stay on the king's highway until we have passed through your territory. 23. Sihon wouldn't let Israel pass through his territory. Sihon gathered all his troops and came out into the desert to attack Israel. When Sihon's troops came to Jahaz, they fought against Israel. Verse 24. But Israel defeated them in battle and took possession of their land from the Arnon Valley to the Jabbok River. They stopped at the border of the Ammon because it was fortified. What was Israel now doing?
Fighting.
The same people who said we can't fight. This is not the promised land. This is before the promised land. Numbers 21. You were fighting. You were fighting. So what went wrong? What went wrong? The same people who said we can't fight. When Sihon came against you, you were able to fight them in that valley and take possession of their land. You see, the church has been in a situation where we don't fight. We wait till there is an issue, then we battle it out. We don't fight. We are put there. We don't touch anyone. Israel was like that. Now, Sihon came attacking them. They were ready to fight. Who are they? Then, after this, they also fought Balak, the Midianite, and killed Balaam there.
Hello.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I think we lost a few words.
You lost a few words then. Okay, let's pick it up from here. In the same book of Numbers, you see, in Numbers chapter 1, God ordered a census.
Yeah.
And what was the census supposed to be? It was for every tribe to number the fighting men. Numbers chapter 1. And so when they have numbered the fighting men, together they were 603,550. Now, after after the Lord had instructed Moses and Aaron to number these fighting men, Israel said, we can't fight. So it means it was what? A wasted effort. The numbering was of no use. So God said, you will perish in the wilderness. Now, in Numbers chapter 26, another census was taken. This time, Aaron is no more. The old order had begun changing. And it was Eleazar and Moses who numbered them. And the number was still around the same. This time, 601,730. What are we seeing here? The same, almost the same number of people. The difference is 1,820. The same number of people who said we can't fight. That we had almost exactly that same number. Their children rose up and the children were ready to fight. Ladies and gentlemen, this tells us that when we are not ready to do what the Lord wants, God is able to bring others who will equally be ready for the task. Hello?
Yeah, your name.
Oh, okay. Who will equally be ready for the task? 603,550. Census number one. They say we can't fight. Census number two, 601,730. Are they not almost the same figure? Then, when they had done all this, in Numbers 26, verse 65, the Lord said something. He said, they must all die in the desert. The only ones left were Caleb, son of Jephthah, and Joshua, son of Nun. So these were the only people who were left enjoying the new generation to fight. When the new generation was formed, the fighting continued. This, remember, at this time they had not even entered. But Israel was still fighting. And they fought the Midianites. Now, in Numbers chapter 33, God had instructed Moses to write everything recounting Israel's journey. Let's read chapter 33, verse 1. These are the journeys of the children of Israel, which went forth out of the land of Egypt with their armies under the hand of Moses and Aaron.
They were an army.
With their armies. Although Israel were slaves in Egypt, they did not leave Egypt as slaves. Bible is saying that they left as what? Armies. And what was the army supposed to do?
To fight.
Ready to possess the promise of God. This also applies to us today. We are soldiers for the Lord. The moment we are redeemed, the moment we are saved, we are drafted into the armies of the Lord. And therefore, when the Lord tells you it is time to fight, don't tell the Lord, I can't fight. I can't fight. Because you are part of the army of the Lord. You see, it is so surprising that when we get to a time, we are the same people who will be singing Onward Christian Soldiers.
So that one, yeah, it's a song.
But after some time, we say we are not soldiers. Who are we? Israel said they were not ready to fight. But Numbers 33 verse 1 says, when they left Egypt, they left as what? Armies. So who were they? It means that they had lost their identity. The moment a Christian loses his identity, he will not know where he's going. A prime thing is never to lose our identity, to know who we are. And who are we? Bible says we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt. So if we lose our identity, then we can no longer be the salt. Then we can no longer be the salt. We are soldiers for the Lord. But just as he said this evening, he now want to look at what must we do to be part of this coming revival.
Yeah.
What must we do? Now that we know we are soldiers, now that we know we are in the army of the Lord, what must we do? We have spoken about the revival. Now, what is your role? What is my role? Revival simply begins in your heart. Revival does not begin in your spouse's heart. It begins in you. Mm-hmm. And until revival begins in you, it's never going to begin in someone else. You cannot experience revival if you are spiritually dead. So our first and foremost job is to revive our lives. Is to put back our antenna. Today we have a lot of FM stations. Mm-hmm. But formerly we were having FM and AM.
And SW.
So today, AW.
SW.
And some. Mm-hmm. MW, yes. MW.
Yeah.
And, AM. And then FM.
Yeah.
Today, if you should bring that radio that has SW, the radio that has SW, can you get FM?
No.
You can't. Because it is way behind the scene. It is just too far from our system now.
Yeah.
We have gotten to the time that you and I must be sensitive and must know that everything is changing. But battle begins in the spiritual realm, as you said.
Yeah.
Ezekiel 36, verse 23 says, a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you an heart of flesh. Then verse 27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. God is telling us that it is time we desire for a new heart. This one, it is not going for a surgery or an operation. It is you asking the Lord, Father, place within me a new heart. Place within me a new burden. Place within me a new heart. Place within me a new burden. Because you see, where we have gotten to, if you can't be revived, then the I, me, and myself prayer will have to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It will have to stop. The outer court prayer cannot go. Because you see, when the high priest enters the holiest of holies, he does not pray for himself.
Yeah.
He never prays for himself. He does the prayer before he enters. So the moment he's qualified to enter, he does not pray for himself. Today, there is a lot of prayer going on, but most of the prayer is centered upon ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The I, me, and myself prayer. We are not looking at it from God's perspective. We are looking at it from man's perspective. because it is all about me. It is all about my family. It is not about anyone. Yes, those prayers are also important. But to enter into the revival, you will need a new heart, where that heart will not yearn for you, but that heart will be praying for others. Mm-hmm. Let's look at it in Numbers 14:24. What did God say? He said, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it."
Another spirit.
Caleb had what? Another spirit. It is time we all put on another spirit. The spirit we inherited initially cannot send us into the land. The spirit we inherited initially cannot send us into the promise of God. Why? That spirit is a selfish spirit. That spirit only looks at what I can do, what I am able to do. It is only looking at what God can do for me. But we are looking at what God wants us to do for him. The promised land is not about us, but it is about God. So when Caleb had this spirit, the Lord commended him that he had a different spirit. So tonight, one of the first prayers that we have to pray is that, Father, place in me a right spirit. Place in me a right spirit. In fact, if you look at the system, you may be tempted to pray for yourself.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
If you look at what is happening around, you will say, oh, let me salvage what is left. But it is not about salvaging what is left. It is about looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying? What is the Lord saying? Let me give a testimony here.
Okay.
There is one member of our church. The gentleman has backslided. I have done everything to bring him back. In December, he was sick to the point of death. We prayed for him. He got healed. And he told the Lord he will come back into his fold and do his work. He only came back to the church for 3 weeks and went back.
I see.
I will call him. I will talk with him. Everything we say, he will not come. Then I told him that something was about to happen. But when that thing happens, we can't help him because it is between him and the Lord. After 2 weeks, he started falling sick. Then, after a week, I had a dream that he was dead. In the morning, I called him. He told me I was frightening him. I said, no, I am not frightening you. I'm just trying to tell you what is ahead so that we all rise up and pray. But this man will still not rise up. He will still not come. Last week, Saturday going into Sunday, I woke up at 12:37 a.m. I prayed for some time and I was lying down. Then I told the Holy Spirit, his name came into mind. Then I told the Holy Spirit, what I have to do, I have done for this guy. I can't do anything again. Then the Holy Spirit told me this. He said, pray that the scales on his eyes will be removed.
Yeah.
So for about 1 hour, I was praying for him. I prayed for him until I fell asleep again. Lo and behold, last Sunday, we were at church and it was offering time when we saw him in church. He has come.
Wow.
We closed church. When I met him, I told him what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And you know what he also said? He said exactly at 1:30 a.m. he woke up. Something told him, go and sit outside. So at the time that I was praying for him, he was also sitting outside.
Wow.
And the result was, he came back. This is where the church is moving next.
Spirit led.
We can't take territories if we don't pray.
Mm-hmm.
But the prayer we have to pray will have to be spirit led.
Yeah.
It has to be Holy Spirit led. God himself will have to lead. So when you look at Joshua, when he took over, the first encounter was that he had an encounter with what?
The host.
The head of the armies of the Lord.
Yeah.
He said, I am now come. What did he do? He came to give Joshua directions. What were the directions? Directions as to how to work, conquer. The revival is coming. And the revival must come. But we will need directions from the Lord. This revival will not be spearheaded by any man. The head of this revival is Christ.
Yeah.
And therefore, when you begin to pray and ask the Lord to give you a new heart, it is then that the Lord can tell you how to pray. When you receive a new heart, you can know how to pray. Because the Holy Spirit will now tell you, this person must come. Pray for him. Pray for this area. Pray for Ija. Pray for this place. Pray for this place. Pray for this place. There may even be times when the whole church will be asked that for 1 month, you will not have church service in your church building. You are moving to this school park. Why? The Lord has some work to be accomplished there. So, sensitivity is key for this revival.
Very, very important.
Very, very serious. You cannot say, we want to be known as the people who champion the revival. We don't need anyone to champion it.
Yeah.
It must be championed by the Holy Ghost himself. By God. Now, if you look at the scripture, apart from Joshua and Caleb's name, which were mentioned for the new generation, did we have any names mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
In the new generation, did we have any names mentioned? There was no name. There was no name mentioned. In the new generation, there was no name. Remember that Tommy Hicks' vision?
Yeah.
There is no big I.
Mm-hmm.
Or big U. There was no name mentioned. It was only the people. We have Eliezer, who took over from Aaron. Then we have Caleb. And then we have what? We have Joshua.
Yeah.
Apart from them, the new generation, we were not given names when Joshua took over. But we were told that they were capturing cities. They were fighting. They were the formation of the church is about to change. It is not we waiting to be on the defensive. But for this revival, we have to be on the offensive.
Yeah, it's true.
And how can we be on the offensive? We can only be on the offensive when we wait on the Holy Spirit for him to give us direction.
Mm-hmm.
You earlier on said that it is like the calm before the storm. Many people think nothing is happening. But if you go on your knees, you will see that much is happening. If you go on your knees, you will see that much is pain.
Even just a minute, let me cut in. Even the revival, it has started. I've seen
evidence. I mean, this afternoon, Texas, Corpus Christi or so city, there was a program, and the video, I mean, my eyes were even filled with tears, where the youth were running to the stage, the edge of the stage, to receive Christ in their numbers.
Uh-huh.
And then, Murillo, what's the name? I've forgotten.
Mario Murillo. Uh-huh.
The tent meetings he's doing in California is another thing altogether. So it has started in some places.
He even had to buy new tents because it was filled.
Yeah.
And they requested for new, bigger tents.
Yeah.
Yes. So if we are not ready, the Lord will move to another place. Because the revival time is now.
Yeah.
The revival time is now. And the moment you, just as you said, the moment it is happening in California, it is happening in Texas, that means that Ghana, ours is due to begin.
Mm-hmm.
Ours is due to begin. And therefore, what must we do? We must press more into God.
Yeah.
Press more into God. Press more into God. As we press into God, He will release what is for Ghana. Mm-hmm. He will release what is for Ghana. Let us not sit down and say, oh, we are waiting for Mario to finish with California and bring it to Ghana. No. This revival is this awakening or this revival is a revival that is cutting across all lands.
Yeah.
So, you are not going to wait for somebody to bring it here. We have to pray because it is being released from heaven. So just pray and we'll enter into it.
Yeah.
We have to pray and then we'll enter into it. The second we have to pray is that we have to pray much for the children.
Yeah.
As they are being targeted by the evil one. The enemy knows that the core of the revival is the children.
Mm-hmm.
Parents listening to me, don't be worried. But the core of the army is the children. The core of the army is the children. You know, when a child sees A, he cannot say, I saw A1. A child cannot exaggerate. What he sees is what he has seen. Hello?
Yeah, your name.
What he sees is what he has seen. Therefore, the core of the army is the children. That is why the enemy is coming so much against the children.
Yeah.
And therefore, every parent will need to be praying for the children.
Important.
We'll be praying for the children. If you are not ready for the revival, you pray for the children.
Uh-huh.
Because the revival is starting. For pastors listening to us, our children's service at Sunday school will need to be changed.
It has to. It really has to change. Yeah.
We can't continue in that same way. You can't come for children's service and we'll be doing listen, chess. That the game chess.
Mm-hmm.
We can't be doing school activities in children's service.
Yeah.
The children's service way of teaching will have to change. Why? The army is being built from child to adult. After the corona, when we came back to church, we were thinking of adults. We were not thinking about children.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Until now, there are churches where still children, nothing for them.
Yes. I know some of the churches, even they began last week and last 2 weeks. We have relegated the children to the background, but they are part of the thing. Go to Numbers. Numbers will tell you that it was the new generation that God used. Joel chapter 2 does not exclude children.
Yeah.
So if we are excluding children, we will be hurting ourselves. because the core of the army will be children. Remember, there is no big I in this revival. And therefore, if you sideline the children, you will think the children are of no use, and you will see them rather doing the revival. Because in this revival, it is not going to be the normal revival we know, but it is going to be a power-based revival.
Yeah.
That is why we need to prepare well. A power-based revival. Even see, when a child prays for someone in a wheelchair and the person gets up, the child does not have time to go and announce. Is that not so?
Yeah.
The child does not have time to announce that, oh, yesterday I prayed for someone and the person got healed. No. The child is happy that he has been used and he wants the happiness to continue. This is what is going to happen.
Yeah.
And therefore, we have to begin to pray for our children. Intercede for your children.
For the gifts even that are in them to be revived or to be activated.
And the last thing, but the last thing we have to look at is that when you look at the way things are, it looks like God has lost control of the earth. God is still in control. Psalm 103 verse 19 says, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. God is in control.
Mm-hmm.
The only constant in life is God and his throne. God's plans and purposes can never be defeated. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I change not. Please, whatever the Lord has said, we have to press into God and he will release it. He is in control. The devil is not in control. Don't look at the chaos and say, the revival is past. It is never past. Go on your knees and cry to the Lord in prayer, and we will see it. Maybe by the next week that we meet, we can begin to testify that it has been in Ghana. God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you too. Pastor Bright says, God bless you. He was listening, or he's listening at his base. Okay. So that's Pastor Roger, and indeed, the season has changed, as I've been saying, and for the listeners of Issues of Life, we really can't say we don't know what is happening. We don't know the season we are in. And having information is one thing, but knowing what to do with the information is the most important aspect of it. I believe it shouldn't be in vain knowing about what is coming and what is happening, but making utmost use of it. That's what we should now take advantage of. And as we desire to pray, as we desire to change ourselves, we desire to be used. You know, there are some prayers God has not really, I mean, he places emphasis on, because the purpose of the prayer is not a selfish one for you alone, but he knows your motive is for others. So when you are praying that God should revive you to be a tool, he should equip you, he should revive you, he should awaken you up, he should know that it's for a greater purpose. It's not for your selfish ambitions. For such prayers, God would, if it's really prayed, you pray sincerely, God would really, really reward you accordingly, and that change of hearts will be your portion. You know, it's that burden should start rising in us. I'll be back briefly. Listen to this song again, the words in it, and I'll be back after the short today. I started late, so I have some time to continue. briefly. Yeah, so listen to the song again. Listen to the words carefully. Jesus, he would hear us, and it's a very powerful song. The more you sing it, the more you listen to it, your faith begins to rise. You know, these are Bible-based words. So as you sing it, something is happening within you. You know, these are times where our desires have to be realigned. you know, we have to realign the things we desire in life. Passion for worldly, carnal things should be put somewhere else. You know, we have to refocus and know the importance of spiritual things in these times. And our priorities have to be rearranged. It's unfortunate that our priorities have become more worldly-based than spirit-based. But it's important we rearrange things again. You know, when we pray for a change of heart and that passion for the lost and all that, our thinking will be influenced. If only we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, our passion and our desires will be influenced and changed. And, you know, we cannot be praying for revival whilst we are still clinging on and holding on to the worldly things. You see, we cannot subscribe to be in the army of God and then also still want to be a civilian. You know, if you know soldiers, if you're a soldier, you're a soldier. I mean, there's nothing like a soldier stroke civilian. No. You are either a civilian or a soldier. So the military have their own processes of doing things, their way of life, everything is different. Once you become, you know, I once watched a documentary about the U.S. military training, I've forgotten the number of weeks, is it? And that period, the first few days, they said they are breaking the civilian life in you. And so they are really breaking you down from being a civilian and they're remolding you to be a soldier. If we pray for a change of heart, a new passion for the lost and God to revive us and all, it's like re-enlisting ourselves on a more serious note into the army of the Lord. So we cannot enlist in the army and then still run back into the civilian fold. If we are in the army of the Lord, then we should live as such. And living as a soldier comes with a price to pay. There's a high price to be a soldier because you just can't live like all other civilians are living. No, your standard is higher. There are codes and ethics that you have to abide by. So if you are a soldier of the Lord, the same thing applies. You just can't live like a casual Christian, a lukewarm Christian, a carnal Christian, living and carelessly, anything, doing anyhow, freely. And when we become serious with the Lord, a mission-minded, heaven-minded, revival-minded believer, it should reflect in our day-to-day living. It should reflect in the way we talk. It should reflect in the songs we listen to. It should reflect in the things we do. There should be a change. You see, so it's like being born again, let me put it something like that. I mean, there should be a change in our way of life. Because, you see, we are subscribing to a high call, an important call, an important assignment. You see, there are assignments, for instance, in the military and the secret service and the security operations and all, where when people subscribe to those assignments, there are some you have to leave your house because the assignment entails that you focus on it. So you just can't live a normal life and be part of those sensitive operations. These are sensitive spiritual operations, let me put it that way, about the revival, souls being saved, the lost, we ourselves being revived and all. So we can't just live like we used to. And this is, we should start conscientizing our mind and thinking along the line that we need a change in our lives, ourselves. That change should start in us. We should change our way of doing things. You can't tell me you are praying for revival and desiring revival and you'll be listening to songs, you're listening to Shatta Wale, Stone Boy. I mean, come on. I mean, is it, these songs will even quench any revival in you, your life. The little fire God will be sparking in you, it will quench it. You know, we have to be careful what we listen to, because these songs have a spiritual significance that it plays, negative one against us if you are not careful. You know, so we should create the atmosphere that makes it conducive for the Holy Spirit to move in us. There are some songs, I'm telling you, if you listen to them, you won't hear the Holy Spirit when he talks to you. Oh, no, no. How can you listen to Shatawale songs and expect to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit when he talks to you? You know, you see, we should stop joking with some things and just see that, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just a song. It's, no. We are talking of serious spiritual things. You just can't mingle with the world and expect to have a positive spiritual results. No, it doesn't work that way. So if you draw the line, this is where you want to belong, stay in that lane. Because if you decide you want to be a soldier, then be ready for all that follows as a soldier. The regulated lifestyle, the controlled, self-controlled life, holy living, prayer, the word of God. You know, I mean, all these spiritual things, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the armor of God, all these things should be things we should be working towards. But we can't say we are soldiers of the Lord and then all the sins in the world, we are still desiring to be engaging in them. Nothing shows we are Christians. Our lifestyle, it's only Sundays, that's something at least people would see you going to church. Aside that, nothing shows we are Christian. You are still praying 5 minutes a day, reading just one or two verses in the morning, and that is all there is for you for the day. No. It doesn't work that way. So a change should happen in our lives. We should desire that change seriously and work towards it. Issues of Life, the program. This is Eben, to be uploaded to spiritissues.info. The podcast to their, I think, 4 editions so far. You can also listen to them there or download them. And those who want to join the Telegram, just install the Telegram app and look for Spirit Issues or Spirit Issues of Life, Spirit FM. And then it's just a group for information. Just pick information there. I put the files there and all that. It's not a group that like chatting and questions. No. So don't worry about people disturbing you. No. It's just a group for picking information. So, good night, and God bless you.